Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Well, it is a final, and the results are indeed not good. Game one of the 2021 NBA Finals in the books as the Bucks fall to the Suns, 118-105. Welcome in, everybody. It's the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. Tim Allen, there's Evan Heffelfinger, and here is Steve Sparky Pfeiffer after the Bucks. Again, play not good basketball in game one of a series. Go back to the series against the Brooklyn Nets. They don't play well in game one. They fall in that one. Series against the Atlanta Hawks. They don't play well. They fall in that one. And likewise here, as the NBA Finals often run in here, 118-105. Want to get your reaction here. Going to hear from the players, Coach Bud, and a lot more as little bit of a buzzkill here just because of some sloppy play and just lack of defense. Wow. Booker and Paul taking it to the Milwaukee Bucks and slapping them around a little bit. They're going to have some things to figure out defensively, that's for sure. And, you know, Giannis played in this game. The man played in this game, which was, you know, remarkable news earlier today. And to keep it positive, you know, again, this is a seven-game series, guys. This is not over. I mean, there's going to have to be some adjustments made, and we'll get to that in a bit. But we'll bring in Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here. Okay, 118-105, we're off and running here. They still need four to win the title.
Yeah, they still need four to win the title, absolutely. And like you said, game one of each series hasn't gone well for the Bucks. I mean, you can look at numerous things here, right? Budenholzer deciding to try and play P.J. Tucker and Brooke Lopez on their guards, hoping that they'd go to a pick and roll and he'll look like a genius. Unfortunately, for Budenholzer, Chris Paul decided, you know what, I'll just take Brooke Lopez one-on-one. I feel confident in that. Devin Booker the same. So you had that going on. The Bucks, like they did in the other two previous game ones, didn't look like they wanted to be there as much as the other basketball team. So that's a problem. Drew Holiday went back to being Drew Holiday when Giannis is on the floor.
Wow.
So that's another problem. Chris Middleton didn't play all that well. I mean, he wasn't horrible, but didn't play as well as he did, obviously, in the last couple of games. So that becomes another issue. The biggest positive in this whole thing is that Giannis played, looked like Giannis, didn't look like he was suffering from any ill effects of the injury to the knee. Didn't look slow to me. Didn't look like he was favoring it or had any issues. First play of the game, they throw that alley-oop to him type deal. He gets fouled. But right there, that was a play of, here, we'll show you how healthy our guy is, and go throw it up for him. So he looked good. Again, didn't take a lot of shots. You obviously want him to take more shots than what he took tonight, but you're trying to work him back into the fray a little bit. I mean, I'm not overly angry or mad about the fact that they lost his basketball game because we've seen them bounce back. You know, everybody always says, every series doesn't start till somebody wins a game on the road. Fine. Now let's see what the Bucks do for game two on Thursday night against Phoenix. And let's see what kind of adjustments they make. Let's see what Bud has up his sleeve for game two, and then you come back to Milwaukee. I don't want to be down 2-0 coming back to Milwaukee on Sunday. I'd really prefer them not be down 2-0 trying to figure out how they're going to change this series around. But, I mean, not much went right for the Bucks tonight. And realistically, you know, they shouldn't have won this basketball game. Phoenix didn't miss a free throw until the very end of the basketball game. Yep. So that was something else that didn't go well for the Bucks.
Is it possible that Middleton and Holiday aren't at the line? I mean, these two guys, they didn't get to the line until, what, the fourth quarter? I mean, yep. I'm not going to blame the referees on this one. That's for sure. I won't go there. But the disparity in free throw attempts here, it's just amazing. It really is amazing. I mean, once Paul and Booker started doing their thing, you couldn't breathe on these guys. It wasn't going down that way.
Yeah, and I get it, right? They get more of the star treatment than Middleton and Holiday do. Holiday doesn't deserve star treatment. Middleton probably isn't a star at the same level of Chris Paul. And Devin Booker has really blown up in the last year. And, you know, Mark Davis, one of the referees on that crew, it has never been favorable, I don't think, in many matchups involving the Milwaukee Bucks. You see Mark Davis and as a Bucks fan, you just cringe and go, oh boy, it's going to be a long night. Probably not going to get a bunch of calls to go our way. And that's kind of how it went tonight. And you know, you can look at it, a lot of different things. Like, again, I mean, I don't know about everybody else. I felt bad for Brook Lopez. I'm watching him out there try to guard Chris Paul, and you're like, he has absolutely no chance whatsoever of doing this. It's just not going to happen. And he just continuously ran him out there. And Mark Jackson's on TV going, this is an absolute disaster. Like, it's a nightmare. Like, you can't put him out there on this island against him and expect him to be okay. It's just not going to happen. It was ugly, and I get it, right? So you're hoping on the pick and roll the switch happens, and then you're in a better situation. But why on God's green earth would Chris Paul elect to try and run a pick and roll when he's got Brook Lopez one-on-one?
No doubt.
There's no way you would call for that.
Yeah, no doubt. This game was tied at 45, and then the Suns went on a 33-17 run. Tied at 45, you thought, hey, they're not playing great basketball. In fact, some would say they're not playing good basketball at all, the Bucks, that is. But yeah, you're tied here at 45, and then just things went haywire, and they felt it. I mean, you could see the game flipping. It did flip, and it flipped in a big way. And again, I'm not going to go toward the referees. I think Mark Davis still has the ability to have an impact in one of these games. So you watch for that. I'm just saying, be on the lookout for that. You're right. I've been on Mark Davis watch for about 3.5 years now.
Right.
And there are some issues with him and the Milwaukee Bucks basketball games.
No question. Absolutely right. And again, you don't want to bail the Bucks out and go, well, it's all on the refs. No, it's all on Budenholzer. No. It's all on the players, not necessarily. There's a combination of things that went wrong for this Bucks basketball team tonight. And you know, like you said, you still got to get to 4 wins. Regardless of how you get there, you still have to get there. So fine, you lose game one. So make your adjustments, come back, play better in game two, win game two, and then have the advantage when you go back to Milwaukee. You know, you don't have the home court advantage in this series. So game seven is going to be in Phoenix. Figure out how to win in Phoenix. Get that out of the way and switch home court back to Milwaukee going forward in this series. But they said it before the game. Like, Van Gundy made it very clear. Like, Drew Holiday is the one guy that has to be the same way that he was when Giannis was out, when Giannis is on the floor. And this is the same thing we said about Bledsoe when Eric Bledsoe was here. It was the same thing I was saying about Drew Holiday during the playoffs prior to Giannis getting hurt. And when Giannis went down, I said on the air, like, mark my words, he's going to hunt his shots, and you'll see a much better offensive player out of Drew Holiday. And he was a better player. He was running the offense. He was setting guys up. There wasn't as much standing around and watching a little bit. And this offense flowed better. They're not better without Giannis. So, you know, let's not go there. But you just have to be as aggressive when he's on the floor as when he's not on the floor.
Well, and the other thing I noticed here, especially in the first half, guys, the no-footers, the 3 to 6 foot range, why weren't them, here's my theory, why they're not going down. Be a little badass down deep. Pack the rack down there. Stop with the light-handed finger rolls. Stop with the light-handed layups. Don't go with the touch down there. Leave that for Middleton outside. Get a touch going out there. Don't go for that touch down deep. Take it straight to the rim. They didn't do that. I thought they were a little soft down there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of them, though. I mean, in general. I mean, I've heard you talk about that before during the season. I mean, that's just kind of who this team is. I mean, and then you look at the second half of the game. DeAndre Ayton comes out. They point out that he's out. Next play, he's not in defense down there. Middleton jacks a corner three. Then they come back down again, and Middleton takes another jumper. Now, thankfully, Giannis gets a strip steal. Middleton gets it back, throws it in. But their big man goes out, and we don't do anything to attack that point of their defense with Ayton out of the game. Did nothing. Just continued to fire jumpers and hope they went in. And then at the end of the game, we're running offense for Pat freaking Connaughton. I'm just watching this going, what are we doing? You have 3-star players out there, and we're running offense for somebody else in the last couple minutes of the game.
Yeah. And you're having him dribble drive. Oh, come on. I mean, well, it is just one game. And again, correct me if I'm wrong. This is just off the top of my head. Was game one against Miami, the first round here this year, was that the game the buzzer beater they won? Was that the Middleton game, Evan? Maybe you can help me out on this. Was that the game they won, game one? I think it was. The 88, 86, 86, 84 game, somewhere in there. They didn't play well in that game.
Correct.
And that was a game one against Miami. Game one against Brooklyn.
So is that on the coach not getting his players ready? Is that on the players not getting ready for a playoff series? Does nobody get blame on it? It's just the Bucks thing. We're always just not going to be that good in the first game of a playoff series.
This is the fourth time it's happened. They just don't play well in game ones.
But and now, again, they've won each of those series.
It's nothing to freak out about. I'm just saying that's been the pattern.
No, you're absolutely right. Wow. It has been. But like you said, they've won each series. So even though they've lost game one, they've come back. That's why I say, like, I know what it's going to be tonight, right? You're going to be taking the calls. People are going to be angry and freaking out. Tomorrow, Bart Winkler is going to take calls. Gary and Leroy will take calls with Plucker. And then Rami's going to take calls in the afternoon. It's going to be full phone lines of angry Bucks fans all day tomorrow. Just remember, like Tim just said, this has been a pattern throughout the playoffs, and they've rebounded and they've won each of those series. So let's just take a breath. We can vent and so forth, and that's fine. But big picture, I still think this Bucks team is fine. In that first half, they were down, but it was close the whole first half. Even with Brook Lopez out there trying to guard Chris Paul, it was still close. You can see these teams are pretty evenly matched. They really are. And I think it's going to be probably a 7-game series and then come down to the end.
What is, I'll let you go with this, what is the key adjustment to be made in game two? And that's what I'm going to ask to Bucks fans right now. I do want to get a report down at the district and the watch party inside the Fiserv Forum and get some reports on that as well. But, I mean, what's the key adjustment heading into game two on Thursday?
I think you have to consider letting Giannis play the five more. When you made that adjustment, Bud did in the second half, and it seemed to work a little bit better than what it was earlier in the game. And you have to figure out a way if Brook Lopez is going to be on the floor for him not to be a liability. And if you can't figure out a way for him to be on the floor and not be a liability defensively, then you have to figure out maybe it's time to play Bobby Portis and Giannis at the five in this series if Brook's going to be a problem. Especially.
How did we lose him?
You had to go away from him because the way you were playing defense at that point on the offensive side of the floor. So maybe the adjustment is you play Giannis more at the five in this series going forward. Now, hopefully he can take the pounding and his knee's okay, but maybe that's the adjustment.
And just let Holiday facilitate?
Yes. Yeah, you let Giannis play down there on the defense, because then if you start defending that pick and roll the way they want to play it, Giannis more athletic, can obviously move better, still long, can still, you know, be in Paul's face if he wants to take that pull-up jumper or whatever. It gives you the ability to get back in transition defense, which was an issue as well, a little bit quicker without Brook Lopez on the floor. I think it solves a lot of different issues. Plus, it allows Giannis maybe to play off the ball and maybe play a little bit more in the post, in the paint, if he can get a mismatch on somebody.
Well, they've shown the ability to go resilient here and bounce back in a big, big way. They're in the NBA Finals, and that's all a good thing. Let's not forget the celebration we had on Saturday. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. All right, enjoy. We will talk again on Thursday.
I'll be here. See you guys.
All right. There he is as the Bucks fall 118-105. And what is the key adjustment here that they have to make heading into game two? 414-799-1250. It's the Pick and Save Basketball postgame show. Tim Allen in for Sparky. There's Evan Heffelfinger live here in the Lakeland University studios with online learning and 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. And we'll check out some of the numbers coming up. We'll hear from Coach Bud and more. It's all coming up. Again, 799-1250. Hey, don't let this game one rain on your parade here. The Bucks are in the NBA Finals. Bucks, Suns, and Bucks fall in game one. We'll be back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
It's time for the Wendy's Player of the Game on the Pick and Save Basketball postgame show. Get yourself a free Wendy's Frosty after every Bucks win.
Welcome back. Pick and Save Basketball postgame show. Game one in the books. This year's NBA Finals featuring your Milwaukee Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. And 118-105 Bucks fall. A pattern, though, this year in the run to the championship. So, I'm not going to freak out too much. Are you? And what adjustments do you make heading into game two this Thursday, 8 o'clock tip? Giannis played today. Now, where were you when you got that news? Now, that again, it's not going to bring you to the height of what you were feeling on Saturday. But my goodness, pretty close that Giannis just manned up in this game. 6 for 11 for his 20 points, 17 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals and a block in 35 minutes. 414-799-1250. I'm sorry, run that by me again, Evan.
Elizabeth K. from 99.1 The Mix is on hold
okay.
Right now.
All right, my friend Elizabeth from The Mix. Elizabeth, hey, no worries. They've come back from down 0-1, right?
yes. Tim, you're right. They have. I mean, this team has shown that they're resilient. I mean, look how they came back against the series in the Nets. They're going to make adjustments. I'm not worried about it, but we're listening to you on our drive home right now because my husband and my son and I are in the car. We were inside the Fiserv watching it in the arena, and I have to tell you, this was such a fun idea for the Bucks to do this, to sell these tickets, $10 a ticket. It goes to the Bucks Foundation because it was a party inside, and I know the team didn't win like we wanted them to, but we were surrounded by so many Bucks fans. There aren't long lines for concessions. There aren't long lines for the bathroom. And for a lot of families that want to experience this excitement with the finals, and you don't want to take your kids into a bar perhaps or have to have standing room only, this is a great way to enjoy the finals and be around this community of people that are rallying behind this team. It's just, there's so much excitement down there. Props to the Bucks for doing this. We had a ton of fun.
Yeah, big time. And you know, one more comment from you and your thoughts, Elizabeth, that you know, what the Deer District and this community, along with, you know, obviously the Bucks organization for putting all this thing together, getting where they're at. And again, they lost tonight. That's all right. They're in the NBA Finals. They weren't going to go 4-0. That's for sure. The Phoenix is a good team. But, man, the unity I think that we've experienced here, Elizabeth, a little bit with this Bucks run, it's pretty impressive. It really is.
It is, and it's bringing so many people together. I mean, we all went through 2020 last year, and I was so disappointed, like a lot of Milwaukeeans, when the DNC did not come to our city because we had invested a lot to get us where we needed to be, to show people a great time and how great of a city Milwaukee is. And this is putting Milwaukee in the national spotlight. And they're coming when the weather's great. So then hopefully they'll come back at another time, continue to spend money, and tell all their family and friends how great Milwaukee is, because we rally behind our teams. We support our teams. And, you know, with Giannis being back, a guy who moved here, moved his whole family here, loves our city. I've always said, to get a player like that on the Bucks that'll embrace Milwaukee like it's their hometown, we're going to love you back tenfold. And that was what was cool to see Giannis back tonight, because we've missed our guy, but I think they're going to do well in game two. I mean, we don't start these series off well in game one like we've seen, but I'm really optimistic about it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all of our stations in the building, 99.1 The Mix, Kiss FM, 105.7, and us here on The Fan, all of us down Wisconsin Avenue for a championship. How about that?
Yeah, for sure, right? The parade's coming to Milwaukee.
All right, Elizabeth K, 99.1 The Mix. Hey, Elizabeth, great hearing from you.
Thanks so much. Have a great night, Tim.
All right, there she is. And you guys, too. It is true. And not to be super, you know, sappy about this, but it's true. This is a big-time celebration. Now, it's time to go to work. It's time to go back at it. Get on that floor on Thursday and adjust. Budenholzer's got to do his job here. These guys have to do their job. Holiday, wow. I don't even know what to say about him. Defensive scheme obviously didn't work against Chris Paul. Hey, give him credit. 36-year-old. Just acting like he's got 21-year-old legs. I mean, we have to give those guys credit, Booker and Paul, but my goodness, sloppy play. Defensively, not impressed with whatever plan they had going there. What adjustments would you make? Middleton did have a decent night, so that's a good sign. You got to get Holiday back on track here. 799-1250. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're next on 1250 AM The Fan. Hello, Jay.
Hey, good evening, Tim. I feel like I live on a different planet than you and Sparky, man. I mean, like, the celebration to me was over Sunday or Monday. like this is the first time in my lifetime that the Bucks have made it this far, and I'm not content. I mean, I want a championship.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Like, Trae Young did you this way in game one of the Hawks series. And so you're going to allow Chris Paul and Devin Booker to be as comfortable as Trae Young was last series. Like, we didn't learn anything from it.
And habit they've been in. They didn't play well against Miami in the first round here, although they won that game. But they didn't play all that good. But then,
I'm right,
they lost to Brooklyn game one. Atlanta game one, and now here we go again, NBA Finals game one.
And Tim, I'm not expecting to win four games in a row, but this is the NBA Finals, man. This is not like a regular season game in February where you're like, you know what, we're just going to play this defensive strategy out for four quarters and see if at some point it just magically turns around. Like, this is the NBA Finals, man. You got to have a counter or two in your bag. You got to have a trick in your bag so that if strategy one doesn't work, you've got a couple other things that you're going to try instead of just saying, you know what, well, if we get game one, we get game one. If not, I guess we're happy to be here and we'll try to get game two. Like, I just don't get that.
All right, are you doing game two?
Well, here's where we're really now in a hole is, like, every series to me is like a game of poker. And you had the ultimate trump card in Giannis in your hand, but now you've played that in game one. So like I would have kept that card in my hand and said, you know what, we've been playing really great the last two games without Giannis.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know.
And I understand he's the franchise and he may not like that. But we're playing so well without him. Like, let's play game one and game two, and then let's get him more rest and see what happens. And let's hold that card in our pocket. But now we've played that card, and now you don't have as much to go to now that you've showed your hand.
Jay, I'm not down with that, man. If he's good
to
go,
why not him?
If he's good to go, you got to play the two-time MVP. I mean, you just
I understand. I understand he's the two-time MVP, and I understand how much he's done for the franchise, and he is the franchise. But you know what? We're trying to win a series, And I don't think, you know, now you're sitting here, Tim, and you played him in game one. Mm-hmm. You lost by however many you lost, and you don't have that card to go to. So does it really matter that he played tonight or didn't play tonight? I'd rather say if you lost tonight without him, okay, you can bring him back in game two. But now you played that card, and I just would have played it out differently. I hope I'm wrong.
Okay, all right, good deal. Jay, great conversation. Great conversation. Thanks for the call. 414-799-1250. I don't even know what to say. It's Giannis. I mean, man, I think there's adjustments you could have made in-game. Okay, we can talk about that. If it wasn't working, keep in mind this game was tied at 45. 33-17 run, yes. Bad run. I mean, he had too many turnovers. That's the other thing. I mean, maybe we could point to that as a little more on the sloppy side of play at times. And coming in bunches, too. Right before the half. I mean, you're in a position where you're cutting this lead down. You're answering back a little bit more. And then you go on a 2-minute run of just, it's not good. 799-1250, what do you adjust here heading into Thursday's game, too? And are you down with Jay? Are you down with Jay saying, well, even though Giannis was hurt, the Bucks had been playing well. You're right. But not to play Giannis intentionally, even though he's ready to go, he looked great. He played well. He did. Now the team didn't. They didn't play well around him. And where do you want to go here, Evan? I'm sorry.
Let's go to CJ in Greendale.
All right. CJ, you're next on the fan. What's on your mind?
Hey there, franchise. I love you, brother.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm having a flashback from 2001.
No, don't go there.
With the free throws, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We're getting killed, dude. We're getting killed already in game one. I mean, I don't know what the final numbers were, but it was just
25 of 26 at the line for the Phoenix Suns. They missed their last free throw. But
whoa. Yeah. 20, okay.
25 of 26. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, in 2001, I hate to flash back to that, but, I mean, Philly shot like 80 more free throws than we did. And I'm seeing just a trend already in game one where we get, 10, 12 free throws? Mm-hmm. And they're shooting 30 of them. It blows my mind that we can't get any more fouls when we're going in the middle. It just trips me out.
Yeah, so what do you do to adjust in game two?
I really don't know. Different refs.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to blame the refs on this one. I'm not. Now, they played a little part in this, that's for sure. CJ, thanks for the call, man.
All right, brother.
They did play a part. And the aforementioned Mark Davis involved. It's crazy how there always seems to be somewhat of an anomaly when it comes to Mark Davis. I don't think I'm breaking any laws. It's just my opinion. I'm not accusing Mark Davis of anything specifically, but just doesn't it figure? It just figures when there's just something crazy that goes on, either a call or the numbers or a disparity in free throws or just something. He seems to be always knee-deep in it. That's all I'm saying. I've said it for a year or so now. Someone needs to do a deep dive on the calls, the scores, and the numbers in a Mark Davis refereed game for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's all I'm saying. Someone needs to just do a deep dive. Just point out, give me some info. I need more info on that.
Do you want me to queue up the X-Files music for you, Timmy?
I don't know about what sort of conspiracy is going on, but I'm just saying, I would need to see more information, and maybe that would square me up a little bit. That's all. 799-1250. Giannis did play. You wouldn't have held him back, right? Hey, Michael, MJ, you got to. You know what? We won that last game without you, man. You can sit. Kobe, We're on a roll here without you. Just coming off a little bit of a thigh bruise. We're going to sit you. No, coach, I'm healthy, though. Nah, we're going to sit you. Hey, LeBron, you're a little dinged up here. Ah, we're going to sit you. You can rest another game or two. We've been doing quite fine without you.
It sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Well, it does. So, but I think Jay's on to something there, though.
I understand the point for sure. It just, Giannis was one of the only positives.
Sparky said, put him in the five, make the offense run around that, and maybe that's going to have some results.
I mean, we saw Ayton cannot stop Giannis down low. Giannis is just too strong for him. No. And that helps because I don't want Giannis bringing the ball up. He should not be the facilitator. It should be Drew Holiday.
It's clearly got to be Drew Holiday. I mean, that's just fact. And I think we'll see that. Now, the Suns may expect that. So you talk about Jay's poker game. That's what's going to happen. They're going to counter on what they think you're going to do. So 799-1250, get your comments here. Just heard that the watch party inside the Fiserv Forum was nice. How about the Deer District if you were out there? We'll continue to talk about the Bucks-Suns NBA Finals. Game one is in the books. 118-105, the Bucks fall. It's the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. After every finals game until the Bucks win the championship. It's right here, 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Who start off the bench today? It's time for the backup of the game. Presented by Gene Wagner Plumbing on the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. For any of your plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Yeah, this is a little tough here. After the really flying high weekend that we had to experience this NBA Finals, and you lose Game 1, 118-105. Let's talk after Game 2. That's for sure. That is a key. And that really, Bucks aren't back against the wall, but, I mean, a little bit more pressure here as to at least play a little bit better, for crying out loud. Come on. Backup of the game, what's up with, let's see, can we go with Forbes? There's two threes there. No, Portis couldn't get anything going. Connaughton, Teague, I don't know how he got in the game that early, but okay. How about we look at the Suns? What's with Cam?
You don't need to be more specific there, do you?
No, but even in the last series, Reddish started to get going against them. Now we got two of them, right, in Phoenix?
Yeah. Cam Johnson, who at the time that they drafted him was a shocking pick, and he's turned out to be a really great player. And the tank commander himself, Cameron Payne, has turned into a serviceable backup point guard.
These guys played well as the backup of the game. That's with our friends at Gene Wagner Plumbing, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all your plumbing needs. And now we'll get to you guys, 799-1250, 118-105, Bucks fall. What do you adjust in game two? Nate, I know I'm going to leave you sit there just for one more caller, so just sit tight because this works a little bit better. So we were just talking about the three cams. We get another cam, and he's on our phone line here. He felt the need to call us. Cam, you're on the Pick and Save Basketball post-game show after game one.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Cam here. I just want to say, like, the Bucks go 9-for-16, and you have a couple Giannis drives that result in going to the line for two free throws each, and you got the Suns going 25-for-26, okay? So you got 26 free throws to 16, and they're just making makeup calls at the end. I mean, honestly.
That's what it was. And I noticed that. The Bucks were getting to the line, but that was late fourth quarter where they got four or six shots at the charity stripe.
Well, and let's compare that. So, like, we got to the charity stripe at the end of the game. We had 10, and then all of a sudden we went to 16. And they're at 26. And, yeah, they're not missing a shot. Don't get me wrong. They did a great job at the line. But I don't think the free throw officiating was even. I really don't.
Numbers bear that out. Way too much of a disparity. way too much. I mean, it was so lopsided that you have to start, your mind just drags you somewhere, doesn't it?
Well, it totally does. And you know, they had a lot of good ball movement, and they were hitting threes at the end of the game. But, you know, I felt like the Bucks had a chance if it was just a little bit more even. And I just feel like that every home team has that energy, and they get the energy of the crowd. I felt like there was a lot of calls on the Bucks that were almost driven by the crowd energy.
I could see it. Yeah, I could see it. All right, so what do you do to adjust in game two?
Dude, I've heard a lot of people talk about that. I wouldn't play Pat and Brynn at the same time. I thought they maybe should have had Bobby or PJ in when Pat or Brynn was out. I didn't really like when they played them together, but I feel like they've played well, and you just have to do what you were doing in game one. You were the underdog. You're expected to lose. But I think if you play how you play, Giannis at 20 and 17, maybe the officiating will change. And I think we can come out with game 2-1.
All right, there you go. All right, thanks for the call. 799-1250. Nate, you've been holding for a while. I appreciate that, dude. You're on the air. Go ahead, Nate. Is he there, Evan?
That's a great question. I'm not too sure.
Not either. I don't think we should have him up there. All right, 799-1250. I apologize for that. You're going to have to call back in, Nate, when there's room for you here. We'll get you on. As the Bucks fall, 118-105. You know, the one thing I would consider, you talk about Giannis, and one of our callers today say, well, you should have considered not playing him, even though he was, despite the fact he was good to go. The one thing I would consider is how you play in a tight ball game. Now, game two, let's just pretend this is a tight game down the stretch. We'd all like the Bucks to just run away with it, and they win by 15. Okay, but if it's not the case, that's the one thing that scares me a little bit, is Giannis at the line late in these basketball games. That part of it makes me nervous. It does. But it's tough not to go to the dude when he's got a complete mismatch going to the rim. That's the part I'm torn on. So, I mean, do you set up some plays? And I think I've noticed a pattern through all of these playoff games is that out of timeouts, the Bucks look good in design plays. They've looked really good in that respect. So there are some good things to take out of this. The biggest of which, 35 minutes, 20 points, 17 boards for Giannis. That's amazing. It truly is amazing. Nobody thought, number one, that he was going to play today. And number two, that he would do what he did today. It's a pretty good game. It's a pretty decent game. Let's go. Now, how would you adjust to game two? 799-1250. There's Nate. You're back. Sorry about that, Nate.
Yeah, I was sitting there talking to my own man. Can you hear me? Tonight was just a bad night for Drew. Honestly, we need him to step it up more. Middleton had an okay night. From points wise, but from what he did on the court wise, it was a lot of fumbling the ball, bad passes, turning over the ball. We need him to be more, especially with the ball in his hand, a little bit more careful as far as turning over the ball. Giannis, he did as much as he could, it seemed like, out there. So we're not going to get too much up on that, but these refs, man, I mean, I understand the Bucks have to do what they have to do and play better defense, play better offense, make shots. But these refs, man, I don't understand how a team that spends most of their time in the paint is where their bread and butter. You're not telling me that it's only nine times that they're getting fouled, and a team that mostly shoots jump shots. Is drawing more fouls than the
it's
team
almost
that,
statistically.
That plays in the paint.
Almost statistically impossible for what occurred in that regard. When you spell it out like that, yes.
Exactly. I just don't. I said, Tim. I understand the Bucks. They didn't do nearly.
They didn't deserve to win this game.
Yeah, they didn't do nearly. Now, if they would have just lost off of execution alone, I wouldn't be able to say. But the free throw discrepancy is huge for a team that they like. Every time I see Giannis in the paint, it looks like he's getting harassed. It was one play earlier in the game. I counted at least four times that they fouled him, and mm-hmm. It seemed like Jake Crowder turned around in surprise that he didn't hear a whistle. It's just I don't understand that level of officiating, but like I said, the Bucks have to play better. Drew has to play better. Chris, yeah, you gave us 29 points, but you took almost 30 shots to get to that 29.
And again, started out not great. I mean, he's had worse starts in this postseason, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely had worse starts, so that's why I'm not harping too much on that.
Right,
but the team has to play better overall if we want to get this done.
Yeah, they do.
They can't just be happy to be there. That time is over.
Yeah, and that's where I'm torn. And now I'm thanks for the call, Nate. And that's a good point. I don't want it to seem like we're still just happy to be there, but it is just getting going. So we can't. I don't know if there's a. You saw the game. They didn't play well. Despite 25 of 26 at the line for what was the official free throw line mark for the Bucks? Were they like 8 for 15 or something? Nine for 16. Look at the difference in free throws. 9-25. And look at the difference in the outcome of the game, 118-105. You can do the math. That one's pretty easy. I mean that part of it. That's tough. 799-1250. You're gonna have to adjust and play better. Let's go to Jay. Jay, what's on your mind? What's going on?
What's up, franchise? Hey, from the point you made from the beginning of the show, when you said you just want them to throw it down, man. Like I was thinking, like PJ Tucker, I've never seen him dunk. Like seriously. Like, he missed one. Like, he could have went up and dunked it. I don't know how tall he is. He's probably 6'5", but, like, man, they got to point.
Back the rack like, with some authority when you get down there. I don't want to see any style points here. Just easiest way to score buckets in the NBA is to slam one. That's the easiest way. These guys got wingspans the size of Denver here. Pack the rack here.
Like seriously, man. Like, I'm looking at the shot charts. They missed 16 points. They missed 16 shots in the paint. Like, some of them they did get fouled on, but you make half of those, you make eight of those. Like, you dang near win the game.
But you still have to stay dedicated down in the paint. You do, and I thought they did a decent job of that. They were down, double digits, and they were still. Yeah, it was. I thought it was a decent mix of still staying in the paint and looking at a decent three to try and get you back in it. But I think that dedication still needs to be down deep.
Yeah, like you said, you got to have that determination, man. Adjustments I would make, like for Drew, he got to play better. You can't have Cam Johnson scoring the same amount of points as Drew Holiday. I mean, that just can't continue to happen, man. Like, I think Brooke played like 20-something minutes.
22.
I would put and Bobby paid like 14 or something. I would flip those. Like Brooke, he's helped us get us to this point, but I mean, right now it's just like lamb. You sending the lamb to slaughter right there. It's just that can happen. So I would play more small ball. Honestly, I would just go. And as much as people don't like Connaughton, he had the best plus minus on the team today.
which was plus
minus
two,
17. What was Lopez? Minus 17?
Minus 17. It kind of seems like plus two. So, I mean, nobody played great, but, I mean, I would probably give Connaughton, let him get some more runs. Yeah, maybe not have Forbes and Connaughton on the court at the same time. Because Forbes, he could be a liability.
Agreed.
But if he's out there, Forbes, he got to come with it too, man. We need a game from Forbes, right? He just goes off. So.
No, I like your Bobby idea. I like Bobby early, and I think there's your energy. I mean that right there is a guy that could spin around a sluggish start.
Right, you know he's gonna come with it. I'll have PJ on Jay Crowder. Just put those two. Those are two pit bulls. Just let them go at it the whole game. Because Jay Crowder, he's kind of getting under Giannis' skin a little bit. I think that's his game. You know, he's just agitated. So put PJ on him, kind of neutralize him. And, you know, we'll come out. I think, you know, first games, I think Butt was like first game, you know, you just go out and play and whatever. You know, you're coming off an emotional series. And I would say Phoenix, man, their conditioning is incredible. Like, those dudes ran the entire game. Every rebound, they were sprinting up the court. So they know we're coming off a tough series. They're going to, you know, they ran us. The second game, I think we'll keep their points down. You got to keep them under 100.
Well, it's something to bear in mind that it was a quick turnaround coming out of the Hawks series. Phoenix was really well rested.
Yeah,
and, I mean, there's
like
something to be said about that.
All right, Tim. All right. Thank you, man.
Yep, you got it, Justin. Take it easy. 799-1250. Pick and Save Basketball post game show. 118-105. Off and running here. NBA Finals. And again, despite the loss here, without having any sort of loser mentality here and happy to be here. We are happy to be here. I mean, Evan, are you happy to be in the NBA Finals despite the loss?
How could I not be? I mean, this is something that we talked about this how much on the Rami and Tim show about how Wisconsin sports just cannot get over that hump and make it to the finals. In any sport, and our team did it. It almost feels surreal. I don't even know if it's 100% set in that we are in the championship series playing for a championship right now. Yeah, it almost doesn't sound real.
Agreed, because we're not used to it. So now let's get used to it. But at some point, if I'm not there now, okay, I need to get there then as a Bucks fan. I need to get there. Win the damn thing now that you're there. And I get what one of our callers said, that, yeah, you know, that train has left the station. We've celebrated and we've had all this euphoria and jubilation about these guys getting to the NBA Finals. But I think now, I think it's turn the page and, you know, maybe get back into, hey, if you're here, just go for it and win it. So, you know, maybe down 0-2, I'm going to sound a little bit different on Thursday. Let's find out what Bud does to adjust. Now he's got a little look at these guys. How are they going to play? What sort of matchups he can go with? What sort of rotation is going to work for him? We'll see. 799-1250. We'll take a break. Be back. Speaking to Coach Bud, we will hear from him. We'll get more of your reaction. Pick and Save Basketball postgame show. 118-105. Bucks fall in game one of the 2021 NBA Finals. We'll be right back. 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
It's time for the Q Club Break of the Game on the Pick and Save Basketball postgame show on The Fan. Q Club of Wisconsin. Great food and fun in Waukesha.
And welcome back. It is the NBA Finals, and the Bucks are in it. However, they lose in game one, 118-105. We're talking about it here. And also, as you turn in tonight, and don't forget Bart Winkler. Oh, man. I'm a little concerned for him, so tune in tomorrow morning. Get his thoughts, Wendy's Big Show, and Rami in the afternoon talking certainly about this game one loss, down 0-1 in the best of seven, and now you have to adjust. The break of the game in this one, despite the loss, the fact that Giannis is back. I mean, again, you couldn't ask for a better situation considering what we all thought heading into this game one that I didn't think he would play. I didn't know how they were handling things internally, and they were a little cryptic on, well, it's day-to-day, and sometimes you're playing sly like a fox like that. You just lay low a little bit, make those guys prepare for Giannis and for no Giannis. So you didn't know. But what a break for the Bucks, and what a break for the Bucks moving forward. 35 minutes for Giannis tonight, and he has 20 points and 17 rebounds. Middleton pours in. Middleton's like a quiet assassin at times. You know, you just don't realize it, and all of a sudden you look up, he's got 29 points in this one. So what do you do to adjust in game two to take this? By the way, without Giannis this year, the Bucks are 9-5. Just saying. 799-1250. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron, you're next. Pick and Save Basketball postgame show. No Aaron. Okay. Let's go to Charles. Charles, you're next. What's happening, Charles?
Hey, how's it going, Tim?
I've been better.
Tim, I think as fans, we shouldn't worry about these game one losses, because the Bucks have shown that. And I think they, out of all the teams in the playoffs, they have done the next best at from game to game, making those adjustments. Mm-hmm. And I think next game, with Giannis back, I think it, you know, it's almost like they got to feel each other through, you know, get used to being him being out there again. And I know people will probably say, well, he only missed two games, but two games is a lot in the NBA, as far as being together, being on the same page. And I think that once Giannis, I think once Bud makes the adjustments for the next game, because really it just got to stop one of those three guys, Ayton, Paul, Booker, to win, because the bench really, to me, didn't hurt them, because the bench didn't really do much offensively. And if you look throughout the playoffs, the benches haven't really been hurting the Bucks. It's those starters they have to slow down, especially the top three. Mm-hmm. And I think if they could slow down one of those three, make it tough for them, which I think they will, I think you'll see things change as far as the play on the floor.
I mean, over 50 of these points come from Booker and Paul. I mean, that's you're going to have to shut one of them down. You're right. You're right. That's one of the adjustments I'm with you on. But, they were – gosh, they were such in a zone, though. I mean, in that third quarter, they just poured it on. I mean, it was night and day difference, because, again, this team was tied 45-40. The game was tied 45-all. And then these guys go on a 33-17. And, you know, the one thing, though, I didn't like some of the sloppy play at times. And that's been, though, however, Charles, throughout this playoffs. They've had bouts of just being sloppy at times.
And you know what, Tim? One thing I wish the Bucks would do is just put the ball in Drew's hand. Let the offense run through him.
Yep.
You know, and because really, I'm glad Middleton's playing good, but he's responsible for a lot of the sloppy play as far as ball handling than anyone on the team, because sometimes he's dribbling it, and all of a sudden it's like the ball's flying out of his hands, and sometimes it's not defense, it's just ball handling.
A little bit better ball movement, more crisp ball movement. None of these little lob passes, and I mean, you're asking for trouble here. I think quicker ball movement, more crisp ball movement, dedication to the paint. Stay dedicated, even when you're down. I don't care if you're down 12 points. Stay dedicated down there. It is going to loosen things up a little bit, but you just a little more sharp play here. That's certainly going to help. And I think you might be onto something with letting Holiday facilitate everything. I mean, the dude's good. He's way better than some of these games he's been playing. This was pretty tough to watch for Drew Holiday.
Some of it is, though, to Tim, he doesn't have the ball in his hands enough to do anything.
True. Yep.
You know, I think he more than anyone on that team needs to have the ball in his hands to make things happen. That's why I thought you brought him in here. You know, take that pressure off Middleton. Don't let him handle the ball. It's like almost let him come off his picks. Give him the ball and the pulse, and really even, you know, if they the Miami series, Tim, if they play the way they play on both ends of the floor in the Miami series, like they did in the Miami series, mm-hmm. they'll beat this team easily.
Yep.
But for some reason, he's not doing what he did in the Miami series.
Well, let's stay positive. They've been here before. One thing we do know, Charles. Thanks for the call. Listening on the Odyssey app, and you can do that as well, AUDACY. It's Tony in Wichita. Tony, you're next. Pick and Save basketball post-game show.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, Tim. You guys just was on my mind early in the game because, yeah, we were head-to-head. We were keeping up, playing off scoring, keeping things real close, but the ball handling, you know, it's just like all the turnovers. I was putting my head down going, such great drives or such good offensive possessions, and we're losing the ball off of a bad dribble or we're dribbling it off our foot.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's just egging it from us as we're going in. I was like, gosh, if we could just clean up the turnovers, make a big difference there alone. You guys driving to the hoop, and at the last second they try to kick it out and it gets intercepted. Just little things like that add up, and it actually turned the tide when they started to run away on us. So that was just one thing I wanted to touch on. But, you know, secondly, about Giannis, when he took the floor, I'm surprised the team did not just get completely pumped up when they saw his effort. And especially when he ran the floor to block that shot.
Yes.
I thought the whole team should have just rallied around what they were witnessing. And they really didn't seem to rally around him. You know, we can handle the Suns, but you have got to play flawless basketball because there's no room for error against these guys.
No. All right. Thanks for the call, Tony. Yeah, there was going to be a frenzy, and you had to ride the storm out early. Crowd was way crazy. It's in their place. They're the team that's well-rested. They're the team that's favored in this thing. Well, I don't know how that's going to change now in terms of, you know, are they going to be even more of a favorite, or does that get offset by the fact that Giannis is clearly going to be able to go the rest of the way? I mean, you know, knock on wood, but I mean, clearly, as Tony just pointed out, you know, that, you know, you saw it early on the slam, like, whoa, okay. Not only Giannis is playing, this ain't no decoy here. This is not Raleigh Fingers. Oh, I don't know if anyone can relate to that. This is not Raleigh Fingers in the World Series. He wasn't going to pitch, but he was always out there getting ready to go, and they could go with him. This wasn't that situation. This was, I'm here to do some damage. And the supporting cast, especially Holiday, you hate to point out one guy. It was more than one, but they brought him in here partly for his postseason success. Now, it hasn't been a ton of games in the postseason for Jrue Holiday. And that was one of the reasons. They've been defensive skills and his postseason success. So how do you adjust? Well, we're going to hear from Giannis in just a little while. Coach Bud as well, but we'll continue to get your reaction here at 414-799-1250. Hell, I've got all night. So, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not busy until tomorrow afternoon. Brewers and Mets. By the way, the Brewers, if anyone's wondering, they were rained out tonight. That may help them. It was a DeGrom start tonight. All right, let's get to Aaron. Aaron, you're next. Pick and Save basketball postgame show.
Hey, Tim. How are you doing tonight?
More important, how you are, though.
I could be better.
Me too.
So my adjustment after tonight would be Bobby Portis starting instead of P.J. Tucker. And they just have to clean up their turnovers, and they are the better team on the floor, and they just have to clean it up. We will win the series. Go Bucks and six.
Okay, there you go. There's a good positive phone call right there. I agree with him on this stance that it does drive me nuts. Now, they are forced errors to a degree, but some of them aren't. And they happen, they seem to happen all at the same time. So I don't know if that's maybe a timeout management concern for Budenholzer. Like, oh, if you see it going sideways, you know, maybe you might want to utilize that part of it and just say, hey, knock it off, guys. I just call it crisp. I mean, that's just move the ball, get in your own zone, because things can fall apart pretty quick for a Bucks opponent, as we've seen throughout this postseason here. And hopefully we're going to see in the NBA Finals here. Let's get one more in before the break. Mike in Madison on the Odyssey app. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, you doing, Tim? Yeah, tough one tonight. Glad that Giannis is back, first and foremost. Didn't think he would be as impactful as he was, and that's a good sign. Hopefully that keeps up going the rest of the years, because they're definitely going to need him against this Suns team right now. But in terms of making adjustments for Game 2 and the rest of the series, I would like to see Holiday be a lot more physical with CP3, the way he's playing right now. And as far as Tucker as well with Booker, because those guys right now, with the way they're in sync right now, they're the best tandem in the playoffs. And you can't allow them to get comfortable like they were. You got to pick them up and make them work a lot harder. Because
yeah, either way, you're going to get called for fouls. You might as well get in their head a little bit and play a little more physical. Because either way, they're going to call you on the fouls.
Exactly, yeah, because the way they're picking teams apart, and like they did tonight, the Bucks, the mid-range, three-point shot, the driving and kicking, or driving and scoring is making it too easy. And the way they're able to utilize DeAndre Ayton on those lobs, it's going to be right now they're just a lethal offensive array of skills. So that's the one thing adjustment Bucks got to make going forward the rest of the series. Also, offensively, can't be as sloppy as it were. You're getting this Suns team way too many easy buckets in the open floor. Another thing is pound that team inside. Don't try to get in the shootout with them. The most success they had was they were to pound them inside. They able to get that score late in the game in the fourth quarter down to seven. That's the formula got to. You can't get in a run and shoot game with this Suns team, because you're going to lose. They're the best in the league at it. So use Giannis, Middleton, and Brown.
Hey, I'm with you there. Stay dedicated inside. Just stay there. Stay in there. No matter what, that's the recipe for success so far here, because that outside shot will loosen up. Middleton will get his points. We know that. He's the closer. We're well aware of that. And if you're going to get into a launch fest with these guys, I don't know if that's a good tack I would take. Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show, 118-105, Game 1 NBA Finals loss for the Bucks, and we'll see what they do in Game 2. Still a lot to unpack here tonight. Dying to hear from Coach Budenholzer. Need to hear from Giannis. That's all coming up here next, 1250 AM The Fan. Welcome back. It is the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show after Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Bucks and Suns in the books, off and running. However, a 118-105 loss. As my name is Tim Allen, in for Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. There is Evan Heffelfinger. And we'll get to you guys, 799-1250. Your thoughts on the game tonight? And what they will do to adjust in winning Game 2. Again, I will remind you guys that Game 1 against Miami didn't play all that well, won that game. Game 1 against, Brooklyn, lost that game, didn't play well. Game 1 against Atlanta, lost that game, didn't play well. Game 1 here against the Suns, lost this game, didn't play well. And yet, despite all that, the beat goes on. That gives me hope. And I think, you know, in some degree, we have to give Budenholzer some credit. for that, and as well as the players. We're all aware of that as well. But, I mean, they bounce back. Steal one win, and it's Thursday. And we'll look at this thing totally different. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're next on the Fan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Tim, Evan.
Hello, Mike.
The sun will come up tomorrow. Don't worry. I guarantee that.
Yes, it will.
Now, they played better. They won. I don't get too low. It's only game one. They don't have the champagne in the locker room in game one.
No.
You know, more PJ and Bordas. And Bucks, too many missed shots, too many missed free throws. And blame the ref. They play better. I ain't blaming nobody.
Okay, I agree with you.
Thursday and make it 1-1. And I don't know if you DVR'd the game. And you DVR for overtime at Channel 12 News.
Okay.
They showed this guy in the forum take his shirt off. And I was like, is that Bart Winkler? You got, if you could have any way to look it up.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's just so funny.
I
know you got a lot of calls.
All right. Take it easy. Hey, where did this start? Is this something that started with Bart, with the shirts off?
Well, it was during game 7 of the Bucks game. He just, for some reason, he was so uncomfortable watching the game that he felt like he had to take his shirt off to, like, relieve stress or something. And then, you know, history says that the Bucks win, and he ended up walking down his street without his shirt on, and maybe more. The video only shows the top half of him,
and
so we don't know.
And Rami on Saturday night in the district, and they were both shirtless.
And the picture from, I think it was game 3 of the Bucks series with me and him when we did the post-game show a couple weeks ago with our shirts off.
Okay.
We had our shirts on for the show. We just took the picture with, you know.
Oh, gotcha. All right. So this, there's a little bit of a following. He's developed a trend here. All right. So we've been asking what to do to adjust in game 2, and we're going to get to Coach Bud here. It's a little more of a pressurized situation here. Stakes are at the highest they could be at here, NBA Finals. It just sounds sweet saying that, and I know we're all enjoying that, but it's time now to get down to playing basketball and winning a series here and winning a title and bringing the Larry O'Brien Trophy into Milwaukee here for the first time in 50 years. So it's time to adjust, Coach Bud. It's time for Drew Holiday to step up. It's time for a lot of these guys to step up. But let's hear from the Bucks head coach after this loss. I will warn you that the Zoom audio here is a little jazzed up just for a couple of seconds here. So bear with it early.
Hey, Mike. I guess we'll just start. Obviously, Giannis moves from doubtful to questionable to starting. So what did you see pregame to make that decision? And then obviously,
recording in progress.
You know, it looked like early he wanted to establish himself and to kind of prove he was good to go.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good workout before the game. You know, I think you got to listen to Giannis first. He felt good. The sports performance group, he'd been checking boxes the last, you know, couple days and making progress. And, you know, he was cleared and he wanted to go, and everybody was on the same page. So, you know, it's just a credit to him. And, you know, we talked just the work he puts in, the work the sports performance group puts in. You know, for him to be back playing in game one, you know, he's just, it's really impressive what he did.
Go to Eric. Go ahead, please.
Obviously, you guys had started the game switching and then did it again in the third quarter. It really felt like Chris kind of got into a rhythm in the third quarter against the switch. Just what did you like about that look? And then maybe what did you not like about it as much in the third?
You're talking about Paul. There's two Chris's in this series side. He's a good player. You know, their pick and roll game is tough to guard. So I think we just got to keep getting better. We'll look at the film, you know, see how we can maybe take away some of the rhythm, you know, to just take it where, or make it where, he's not getting to his spots as easily. You know, that'll be a big part of looking between game 1 and game 2.
Next question will go to Jeff, third row. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, I know you said it was impressive that Giannis came back and was able to play. How would you assess his performance? What did you see from him that you liked? And, you know, how much did you notice that, you know, he was coming off an injury?
Yeah, you know, I thought there were a lot of good things. I mean, I think, you know, considering, you know, 5 days and, you know, what he's been through these last five, six, 7 days, you know, I think, you know, 17 rebounds, 20 points, you know, some great playmaking, passing, you know, defending the rim. You know, he's just like everybody else. I'm sure we'll find some things where he could be better. And, you know, he's, I think, you know, usually it takes him playing. He's a rhythm guy. So, you know, I'm excited about, you know, how he'll improve from game one to game two. You know, we'll see how he feels. But, you know, I think play wise, you know, he always gets better when he plays.
Go ahead, Eric.
I guess speaking of that, did he have a number that he could get to tonight? Like there was only, you could only play however many minutes or anything like that. And then also you guys used him at the five late. Was that something that you were a little bit worried about with his condition and him getting back for the first game?
Yeah. I mean, so we mapped him out, you know, a plan like we really do pretty much every game, but, you know, considering, you know, his situation, and then there's just feedback during the game. If we can adjust and if what we can do and how he's feeling, you know, so I think, you know, him playing 35 plus minutes, you know, it was, everybody was kind of communicating and getting to that point. And then, you know, him playing at the five, has been something that's been good for us in stretches and, you know, so we'll look at it. We'll look and see, you know, hopefully how we can get our best combos out there. And each night, sometimes it changes.
Malika, go ahead, please.
But Drew Holiday had said that when Giannis doesn't play, he feels the need to step up and be aggressive specifically to make up for that. How did you see him sort of kind of trying to find his way a little bit tonight? Where do you think he can find it a little bit better moving forward?
Yeah, you know, it's always a balance for Drew, you know, not just, you know, Giannis. He likes to set his teammates up. He likes to get everybody involved. And, you know, so I think – you know, it's partly on me. I got to, you know, make sure he's getting in situations and spots where he can be aggressive. And, you know, I think he'll be better going into the second game.
Mark, go ahead, please.
Coach, what advice do you have for Giannis when you got to not only try to make free throws, but you got the whole crowd on you while you're trying to do it?
My advice to him is always just get there. Keep getting to the free throw line. Keep attacking. The more he does something, the better he gets at it. You know, I thought he shot the free throw, you know, as far as just the eye and the way it came off his hand and the way it looked. You know, I think he's in a good place at the free throw line.
Practices with it?
No.
Go to David in the back. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, with Giannis, I noticed on the first offensive play, you guys kind of, I don't know if it was on purpose, but ran that lob play to him and everything. Were you wanting to see how he felt right away, or did it just kind of work out that way that's what you ran?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the options. There's kind of multiple options lots of times when we do things. And, you know, I definitely would not say we knew that he was going to, you know, have to go and jump and do that. But he was cleared. You know, he's done some things. And, you know, he felt really confident. We felt really confident. I don't think you want to put him out there if you don't trust him to just go play and trust his instincts. And but it wasn't a conscientious to see what he could do on that first play.
Let's go to Eric. Go ahead, please.
You guys have dropped a couple game ones now in a row, and we've talked to Drew about getting better as the series goes on. What do you kind of feel like you take from this game to move forward with?
I mean, I think that's a big message. You know, we can get better. It's something we live by. It's one of our mantras, just keep getting better. You know, I'm sure both teams are going to look at the film and be talking about that. And so, but I think this group's embraced that, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So when you lose a game one or you lose a game, there's, you know, I think it's a good place to go mentally is, you know, just look at, you know, just evaluate and see where we can get better.
We'll take two questions on Zoom. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, the next question will be from Davide.
Hey, Coach, what do you think went wrong? Meaning, what do you think is the biggest mistake you guys made?
You know, I think they executed well offensively. You know, can we be better defensively? you know, make things a little more difficult. I think that's the thing. This, you know, and I think the transition, maybe more so in the first half, the transition felt like it hurt us. You know, they got some clean, good looks at threes. You know, so it's like most games. You got to be good in transition. You got to be able to, you know, guard in the half court and then rebound. So we got to do a little bit of all that better.
And the next question will be from Steven Watson.
Hey, Coach. Just knowing that you guys only had a couple of days, you had a long travel schedule, do you feel like that factored in to the slow start from your team tonight?
Not really. You know, I think, you know, we played on Saturday. Now it's Tuesday. You know, we've had a couple of days. But, you know, there's, you know, the, everything adds up. But I don't think the travel or the timing or anything. If we'd played well in one, we'd have talked about that we're in a good rhythm and things like that. So I don't think you can flip it and use that as, you know. And then really the first quarter, I thought we were good at halftime. There was just a stretch to the third quarter, you know, where we just got to be better.
Well, that seems to be a common theme for Coach Bud right there. After a 118-105 loss in Game 1 of the 2021 NBA Finals, that everything needs to be a little bit better. I like that in a way, somewhat repetitive in a way. Interesting that, you know, you get Giannis in the five, they get some success down there, and Coach Bud retorted with, yeah, that's been good in stretches. Oh, okay. Maybe they're on to something. They will adjust, and Drew needs to play better. That is one of the bottom lines here tonight. Giannis, it was awesome to see him on the floor and playing 35 minutes. I mean, I did not expect that. Even after the game started. Evan, did you expect 35 minutes out of Giannis tonight?
No, and I also didn't expect him to be jumping around like he was. He had a couple of really nice dunks, a chase down block that looked exactly like picture for picture, like the one from LeBron James in the finals a couple years ago. That's not something that I expected him to do when he was healthy, let alone with a bum knee.
Yeah, that is great news. And now to adjust with a full arsenal here outside of DiVincenzo, I think, you know, one could say they're in good shape. They are. Now, they need to slow those other guys down. That's for sure. Giannis, big time, 20 points, 17 boards. We're going to hear from the two-time MVP up next. You're listening to the Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show. Tim in for Sparky tonight after the 118-105 Game 1 of the NBA Finals loss right here, 1250 AM The Fan. All right, welcome back. Time to get to Giannis right now. Pick and Save Basketball Postgame Show as the Bucks fall in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. First time they've been here in 47 years. Been 50 years between world titles, and hopefully, you know, in the next four games, they just take care of business. But there a lot of work to do, and they... You know, they're going to have to brave the storm. Much the same on Sunday night when the Phoenix Suns come into Milwaukee here. They will experience the same thing. But you've got an opportunity here to really shift the landscape a little bit with a victory in Game 2. And you've got your guy back. And that's the key here today. 35 minutes, 20 points, and 17 boards. For the Milwaukee Bucks, two-time MVP, Giannis spoke after the game. Check this out. This is pretty good.
Giannis, I guess kind of a couple for you. Can you just kind of take me through the last week and what this was like to get back to this place?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, obviously, I had to, you know, do my best to get back. Yeah, I had to do my best to get back, listen to my medical staff, did the right treatment, took care of my body, and support my teammates, and, you know, now I'm back.
Just how did it feel tonight? And then specifically, I wanted to ask you, in the third quarter, there's a spot where Jay Crowder pulls back on a three. It looked like you grabbed at your knee a little bit after that. What were you going through in that moment? And then just overall, what did it feel like?
Felt great. You know, obviously I'm trying not to make it about me, but felt great. You know, the medical staff cleared me to play. You know, out there I had my balance. Felt my knee was stable. Did not feel pain. So I felt good. I know what you're talking about. I felt good.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You just told Eric that you, you know, had lots of discussions throughout the week, but what was the rehab process? Was it grueling? Was it time consuming? You know, how many hours were you spending a day trying to get that knee ready?
24. You know, from my treatment, from lifting, from getting on the court, pool sessions, you know, keeping my foot elevated, you know, like 24 hours a day. And obviously it wasn't easy, but, you know, I was willing to do it. And I think, you know, the medical staff had a great program for me that I was able to, you know, do what I have to do to get, you know, stay in shape and at the same time recover and, you know, not have a lot of swelling in my knee. And, you know, I was declared me to play. I felt good. My knee, not feel no pain. The swelling was down. So I was like, okay, good to go.
Lori?
I don't think we believe you about the pain thing, but I wondered if you saw, because you're just, we know you. But it's okay. I understand. But I wondered if you saw the video of your injury.
No,
it makes sense. And then the wrap that you had, did that hinder your range of motion at all? I mean, you were pretty wrapped up on the knee and.
No, I'm trying my best here to, you know, not make it about my knee, but I'm going to say one more time that my knee felt good. Obviously, you when you go and play a game, you never know what's going to happen. You know, a play with Jay Crowder might happen, or the same play that happened at Atlanta. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm just happy that I'm out there, you know, and I'm able to, you know, help my teammate in any way possible and participate in NBA Finals, my first NBA Finals. So I'm just, you know, try to, you know, put my attention in that and not in, you know, if my knee hurts, if I feel, you know, I'm out there. I feel good. I don't feel pain. You know, I can run. I can jump. I can set screens. You know, I can rebound the ball. I can do stuff. So I'm good. I'm happy. I'm happy that I'm out there. You know, at the end of the day, I haven't watched the clip, but when the play happened, I thought I'm going to be out for a year. You know, so I'm just happy that two games later, I'm back.
Mark
Spears, ESPN's Undefeated. This point, this trend of them chanting towards you when you're at the line still hasn't come to an end, is it bothersome? Do you hear it? And at this point, like, what do you even think about it?
No, it hasn't come to an end, but I think it's something that's going to follow me for the rest of my career. So I just got to embrace it and have fun with it. But at the end of the day, I'm just focusing on my routine, my technique and my body. And as I said, he probably is not going to stop. So I just got to learn how, you know, learn to live with it. Of course, 20,000 people yelling 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, obviously I notice it. But as I said, like, I've learned to embrace it. Like, I know it's not going to stop, you know, and at the end of the day, when it keeps going, it's like it fades away. You know, there's times that, you know, the first free throw, I hear it, but in the fifth one, sixth one, I'm not, you know, I'm not hearing no more. And I'm just focusing on what I got to do and, you know, my routine.
Jim, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys, this is weird, kind of going from back to front here, front to back, I guess, but we didn't get a chance to hear from you. What was it like to watch your team clinch the Eastern Conference Finals? To see them do that and to hold that trophy,
it was big. You know, obviously I would love to be out there with them, but you know, they hold it down. They played great. They played great basketball. They played together. They competed hard defensively. You know, and I was I was extremely happy for them.
Did it hurt, like, your heart at all that you couldn't be out there?
No, I'm out. I'm participating right now, so, you know, that's in the past. And, you know, everything happens for a reason in life. God always puts you in the position that you're supposed to be put in, and that's what I believe. So I'm just happy, man. Like, you know, when I went down, I thought I'm going to be out for a year. I thought I turned hurt everything in my knee. And just being able to be on the bench and not being a cold table, getting surgery and supporting those guys, watching the game and walking around and cheering with them. You know, obviously, my competitive side, we want to play, but at the end of the day, you always got to find the positive things in everything that you go through in order for you to move forward. You know, I'm happy that they were able to, you know, get the job done. They played great, played together. I was extremely proud for the team, and I'm happy that, you know, I have opportunity to be out there with them again and, you know, finish what we started.
Let's go to Sam in the back. Sam.
Yeah, it's good seeing you again. For one, you mentioned a few times you thought you might be out for a year. So I'm wondering, how long did you have those fears? When did you know that it wasn't as serious as you thought? I mean, looking ahead to game two, you get 2 days off. You say you feel pretty good. I mean, do you feel like game two is certainly going to – the momentum keeps going for you physically?
For sure. You know, hopefully – I can't predict the future. Hopefully I feel better. And, you know, as we move forward, I feel better. And as a team, we can, you know, we can get one out of Phoenix. But as I said, I can't predict the future. I might wake up tomorrow, my knee might be swollen up. I don't know. But I'm good now. Hopefully I wake up tomorrow, I'm good. Hopefully I wake up 2 days from now and I feel good. And hopefully we can go out there and compete.
What about the 1 year thing? How long did you think?
I'll say until the next day. You know, I couldn't walk proudly, and my knee was like double its size. Usually I never swell up, but you know, I woke up the next day, you know, did the whatever it's called, MRIX or whatever, I don't know what it's called. And they said, I'm good. And I was like, thank God. But at the end of the day, it's like all the, like, the medical staff and the strength conditioning team, they've done a great job throughout the years to, like, keep me healthy. And, you know, all the work we've put in, that's why it wasn't as bad. You know, because of all the work I've put in throughout the years, and I'm happy. And yeah, I'm not trying to make up my money. Hopefully, in game two, I feel better. Yeah.
Malika, go ahead, please.
Giannis, I have two for you. First, not about your knee. You're playing in the NBA Finals. This is something that you have said for years. This is, I want to bring a championship to Milwaukee. It's why you resigned here. What was the feeling for you as you went out there and competed?
I felt good. You know, I felt good. You know, wearing the jacket and seeing, you know, the finals logo in the jacket and in the jersey. Obviously, we didn't get the win, but it's good to be here. It's good to enjoy the moment, enjoy the games. Can never take things like this for granted. And just try to make the best out of it. But I'm happy that we're able to, you know, be here. We've worked hard all year to have the opportunity to win a championship. And we're going to keep working hard, you know, day by day, and put ourselves in a position to win.
And then secondly, considering how much work over the last couple of days has been about your knee, now that you're able to obviously continue to get treatment, but to turn your focus to, okay, basketball, this is what I need to adjust to be better in game two. What's that process like for you?
I haven't watched the tape yet, the clips. Got to sit down and watch the tapes with the coach staff and see what I can do better, what the team can do better. We'll see. Right now, I don't know. But I just hope physically I feel better, mentally I feel good, and, you know, I'll try to figure it out.
Go to Zoom for a question. Go ahead, Peter.
Next question will be Stephen Watson.
Hey, Giannis, I know this is probably not how you dreamt your first NBA Finals appearance to be, you know, coming in with a knee injury and losing game one. But the statement that you made over the last week to your teammates, to yourself, I mean, what do you feel like you may have proved to get to this point and be able to contend in the NBA Finals?
I didn't understand the question. I didn't understand the question. Can you repeat the question, please?
Of course. Over the last week, what do you feel like you proved to your teammates and yourself by recovering from this knee injury?
I didn't prove nothing to my team. I feel like I have nothing to prove to anybody. I just try to do my job, you know, and try to enjoy the process of, you know, playing a basketball game and being in the NBA Finals. I feel like we all extremely blessed. I think we have a great team, and I've said in the past that we work hard, you know, all year long to be in this position. Like, we have to like live in the moment, you know, and try to, you know, take as much as possible from this experience, because like you can never take moments like this for granted, you know. But yeah, I didn't have to prove nothing, you know, to my teammates. My teammates know who I am, you know, what kind of person I am, on the court, off the court, you know, try not to let them down. But they know if I'm physically capable to play, you know, I'm going to play. And they know that if I can help them in any way, I'm going to try to help them in any way. So they know who I am. But the message to the team is that, you know, we in the NBA Finals, you know, enjoy the experience. And now, wasn't able to get game one, but we have to focus and get game two.
Go back to Eric. Go ahead.
I spent the last couple of days asking your teammates about how, you know, Chris Paul and Devin Booker are great in the mid-range, right? Like going into a series, you know that. How do you make them uncomfortable? And after seeing them kind of go off in the mid-range tonight, how do you improve on that going forward?
You just got to keep making it tough for them, tough as possible. They're going to get a lot of shots to go. Great playmakers. Most of the time, they're going to make the right decision. The ball's going to be in the hands a lot. Just got to make it as tough as possible. Keep them in front. Make them shoot twos, but tough twos. And obviously, we know that's what they want to get to. But at the end of the day, they like great players. Like all you can do is contend them as much as possible. Maybe we have to pick them out full court. I don't know. We got to go watch the tape and see what we can do better as a team. And hopefully we can make adjustment from game one to game two and just make it more tough for them.
Final quick questions. Go ahead, Lauren.
Last one on the free throws, hopefully forever, or at least this year. I feel like with you, it matters when you get the ball from the official. You need to drop your shoulders, take your breath, and then also take that simulated shot and then get the ball from the official. Sometimes that routine for you is messed up. Did you say anything to anybody, or have you asked or requested? No. Am I right on that, or is it the timing just kind of been better since Brooklyn?
No. I just try to do my routine. Yeah. And part of my routine is breathing, you know, and catching my breath. But yeah, I'm not saying nothing to nobody. Like, who should I say something to the referee? Why he passed me the ball a second early, and then I wanted the ball. Like, that's not who I am. That's not me. I just focus on what I got to do. I focus on myself. I focus on the task. And if it gives me the ball 1 second earlier, I just got to adjust and find a solution. How can I make the free throw? That's pretty much it.
Dan, you have the final question. Go ahead, please.
Giannis, you said you're somebody who believes everything has happened in your life for a reason. Mm-hmm. How have this team's experiences being up 2-0 against Toronto and letting that opportunity slip through its hands last year in the bubble and everything you guys had to deal with, how have those experiences shaped this team this postseason, especially when you guys have been down in series?
You know, trying not to focus in the past as much, you know, trying to learn from it and keep moving forward. But at the end of the day, you know, we were up to 0 with Toronto, and we didn't win the series, but yeah, we were up to 0. But at the end of the day, in order for you to, you know, keep getting better, you got to face some adversity. You know, in the previous series, we were, you know, up 2-0 with Miami, we were able to close the series. Then we were down 2-0 with Brooklyn, we were able to come back. Then we lost the first game against Atlanta, we were able to find a way. We just got to keep, you know, keep finding a way. You know, at the end of the day, we take it, you know, day at a time, game at a time. No, day at a time, possession at a time, game at a time, and just try to figure out ways to, you know, put ourselves in a position to win. But try not to focus in the past as much because it's in the past. I learned from it. Hopefully, if I'm in the series up 2-0 and the team is up 2-0, we can close the series and, you know, advance in the next round. But at the end of the day, you don't know what you're going to expect. You know, you cannot predict the future. But in any situation we are, we got to find a way to win the game and find a solution to be better, play better, and do it together. Yeah,
some good stuff there from Giannis after a Game 1 NBA Finals loss to the Phoenix Suns, 118-105. Some really good stuff there on the injury. Interesting to note that he thought it was done. He thought he was going to be out a long, long time. Season done, and things change, and it all comes down, and look at him. He's back up after missing just a couple of games in that series. Bucks survive without him and then head into this NBA Finals. And, you know, the other thing I noticed in there was he said it's his first NBA Finals. I like that. I like that a lot. No doubt. Evan, anything jump out there at you during, 16 minutes of Giannis?
I mean, I just like that he went through the entire thought process that we all did when he had that knee injury. Like, oh man, that's a season. That's a year, maybe more. And to come back and see that it's just a hyperextension, and then somehow, miraculously, he's back a week later. It's incredible to see that not only that it happened, but he realizes how crazy it is that it happened, but that he's back, he's supporting the team, he's helping the team, and I think he was a net positive tonight.
And not just spiked in there as a decoy for 6 or 8 minutes. You know, I honestly, when I heard that he was going to play, I considered that this was going to be a little bit of a, they're going to get him on the floor for a little bit as a presence, and then, you know, it's going to swell up or it's going to tighten up or whatever. And it was just going to be run that way. Interesting stuff from Giannis. And finally, we've been asking the question all show, all night tonight about, you know, what adjustments you make in game two. And I like what I heard in terms of making it difficult for Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Make it tougher on them. It just looked too easy for these guys. I think they will make that adjustment. I don't see these types of numbers in game two for those two. I mean, if they do, uh-oh. I might be saying uh-oh on Thursday night, but... Okay, game one in the books. NBA Finals off and running. Now it's time to grab home court advantage here with a victory on game two. We got some more Bucks conversation in the morning. Bart Winkler, the Wendy's Big Show throughout the midday. Rami in the afternoon. Then we've got Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show with Great Lakes Dragway talking Brewers baseball tomorrow a couple of times as the Brewers were rained out earlier tonight. They've got a doubleheader tomorrow. And then, well, Thursday's going to roll around here pretty damn quick and right back into the mix again. Watch party inside the Fiserv Forum, Deer District, the whole nine yards. And we're going to be all over it here on 1250 AM The Fan. For Evan Heffelfinger, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, my name is Tim Allen. Despite the final tonight, stay a little positive. Let's just play this thing out. Let's see what happens. And does Mark Davis have an impact in game two? We're on the watch. You guys have a great night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here, 1250 AM The Fan and Odyssey Station.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.